Hi, my name is Gabrielle Dahlman, and you're listening to This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Today's guest is an Olympic gold medalist, world bronze medalist, and a two-time Canadian national champion. After the 2018 Olympics, our guest took a break from skating to focus on her mental health.
After she returned to skating, she dealt with numerous injuries that impacted her results. But at the end of June, she competed in her first competition, Broadmoor Open, 6 months after ankle surgery, and she will compete in a few weeks at the Philadelphia Summer Championships.
So we are excited to welcome Gabby Dahlman to This Week in Skating. Hi, Gabby. I'm so glad you are here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, when I saw the results of the Broadmoor Open, I said, Gabby's making a comeback here. And I told her before we started recording that we might have good luck coming on this podcast because we brought Alyssa Liu on the podcast when she announced she was coming back. And then she became a world champion. So, Gabby, I'm hoping that's going to continue for you this season.
Please. I welcome all the luck, all the good vibes, everything.
So, can you kind of give us an update on where you kind of are right now? Are you training in Colorado Springs?
I am training in Colorado Springs. It was more of, hey, let's try it out for the summer. Because especially after my first surgery, I knew on the really hard days where I need to be motivated because I might be in pain or just like not having a great day because I've had a lot of setbacks, that I need to be somewhere where like I always felt like I had to be on and I always felt like I needed to be good to feel like there. And I needed to be somewhere where there's always triple triples and just the pace is moving fast. And it helped that I've known Amber for 13 going on 14 years. And so I was like, you know what, this might be a perfect change of scenery and just the perfect opportunity and just to have a friend there to be pushed and have someone who has the same goal. And we made the decision a few weeks ago that I will be here most of the year leading up to the Olympic season.
So who are you working with in Colorado Springs?
So my head coach is still Michael Hoffs back in Canada. And then I work with Tammy and Damon in Colorado. So they are also now part of my coaching team.
So what's it like training in altitude? I feel like that's a question you always have to ask.
Yeah, you can't be out of shape, which is another thing I love here because, yeah, you have to be in shape. Otherwise, you're like, I still gasp for air. Let's put it that way.
Wow. Yeah. So it's almost like double training for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember my first 2 weeks here, I was struggling to breathe and everyone's like, just drink water. And I was like, No, I need like oxygen. Like someone get me like an oxygen mask.
I feel like I've seen that at competitions, oxygen masks. That's crazy.
It was a thing when Four Continents was here in Colorado. Yeah. Didn't do that one. And honestly, that's fine. I remember seeing that and be like, oh no.
So we, with all the work you're doing, you got your programs already. And who choreographed them for you?
So my short is done by Caitlin Weaver, and my long is done by Laura Nickel.
Okay. Oh, great.
Yeah.
You're not going to share what they are yet.
My short is To Pink, I'm Here. It's a very fast-paced, fun, upbeat program. It really resonated with me because it was like, one of the lyrics says, I've already seen the bottom, so there's nothing to fear. Because I've been at the very top, and with all the injuries, I've been at rock bottom. And then after my second surgery, I was like, oh, rock bottom has a basement. That's cool. So it was like very resonated with me. And then my long, I only competed this about a handful of times, but I went back to Samson and Delilah. It was a crowd favorite.
Lovely.
I loved it. It never got its moment because I only competed it about three, four times. So I was like, you know what? I think we should go back to this. And Lori was like, I love that. So I went back to Samson and Delilah for my long.
Okay, good. That's a good choice. What did it mean to you to compete following your recent surgery. We're going to talk about the injuries and how you've just keep coming back. But I mean, you were 6 months after your most recent surgery that you competed. So what did it mean to get back on the ice and to have that first competition, even if it was just competing that short program?
It meant a lot. It was a long time coming, and especially it only being 6 months since surgery, like relearning how to walk, skate, jump, change training locations, altitude. Like, there were a lot of factors, but I just knew I needed to get out there. And that wasn't the program. Like, we didn't do the triple flip. We didn't fine tune everything in a way, but I was like, you know what? I need to get the toe out. I need to just get back out there. It's been about 2.5 years since I've really competed. And I was like, I need to line up a lot of summer competitions, make sure I'm ready. So competing at Broadmoor, getting a short out there that early in June, I don't think I've ever competed that early. If I'm being honest, it was early, but it was like, okay, this is where I'm at. It's a very good starting point. Let's build from here.
And have you already got any goals for the coming season? Because we know, for instance, Skate Canada International has got a TBC spot. So, question mark?
I'm in the dark, but it's definitely a goal. It's definitely something that I would love to work towards and hopefully prove that I can be honored enough to have that spot and get back on the Grand Prix circuit after 2.5 years.
Now, you're going to do both programs in Philadelphia when you compete?
Yes, I will.
Okay. What's next after Philadelphia? I mean, you're saying this is really early. Are you going to then kind of slowly take a break? But, I mean, no break.
I compete in Philadelphia, then I have a week off, and then I fly home August 11th, and I compete at the summer skate in Waterloo that weekend. And then from there, it's just this season, it's just going to be okay. How many times can I get out, really get going? Like I said, it's been 2.5 years. I haven't done nationals in 3 years. So it's like, hey, try to get out as many times as you can. Yes, it's a long season, but I need to get that feeling back.
Yeah. You said you haven't competed in, 2.5 years, 3 years for a nationals?
I do a summer competition each year, but it's not doing one.
Yeah.
And I'm getting re-injured. Did my first summer competition, tore on my ligaments, did the same summer competition, 2 weeks later broke my ankle, the same one. So it was need to get it moving again.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you just about these injuries that you've had. I mean, you just have had one after another. You feel like you're back, and then something else has caused you to be out again.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of fill us in on this road to recovery that you've had to kind of go through with injury after injury after injury?
Yeah, I mean, my first one was I was in a car accident on my way to training back in 2022, and that took a real hit on me. I got sideswiped on the 401 in Toronto and just was working through it, but then I got to a point where my sports doctor was just like, you got to get pulled off the ice. You need time to recover, because I was just pushing. And then got back into training, was feeling good, was competition ready, and the last jump in my long, which happened to be a combo or a jump sequence, just slipped off a takeoff edge and opened up in the air and just landed on the ankle wrong and ended up tearing everything in it. And I don't know how I finished that program, because I remember stepping on that ankle and I was like, oh, I can't put any weight and I still have 3 elements left. So I was like, just finish. So then found out, okay, if you want to get back on the ice fast, surgery's the best way to go. We need to get that ankle supported, get those tight ropes in. Okay. Surgery went bad. Surgery ended up leaving the surgery with 2 fractures because the tight rope snapped. So I was like, oh my God. I don't think after my first surgery, I had stepped in a gym or on the ice in about 6 months. I ended up getting severely depressed. I didn't know where my skating was. I was telling my parents, I don't know what to do. This injury is going to make or break me. I'm either going to come back the strongest I've ever been, or it's going to be my breaking point. And I got back, we kept the hardware in, and I was training and things were coming back, but I was still in some pain from the hardware because of my boot. It kept rubbing against the hardware. Competed at SummerSkate, got it done, was like, okay, that was great. Stepping point, let's move on. And I just happened 2 weeks later, did a clean short, did a clean long, was warming up for my second long of the day, slipped off a loop takeoff. And then I looked at my coach, I kind of laughed for a sec because I was like, oh, I just did that. And then you just see my face go like blank. And I was like, oh no, I just think like I broke my ankle, like something's wrong. And lo and behold, I had fractured my ankle again. And they were like, the hardware needed to come out because right where I fractured it was right where the hardware ended. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do the rest of the season. It really sucks, but my main focus is Olympic gear. So let's take the hardware out and like really work on my mental and get ready for when it comes off. So this time after surgery, I think I was in the gym. Sorry, I'm just double checking, but I think I was in the gym like a week after my surgery, even with a soft cast on. Like I was like, okay, it's go time. Like we rested, we're still in a soft cast. Like you can't put weight on it, but like start doing some upper body.
Still four limbs or three limbs.
Yeah, I still have three limbs, as my dad said. So I was like, I need to get going. And yeah, I mentally and physically feel like I did in 2017, 2018. And I've just been working, and I have my vision boards. I have my posters of my goals and what I need to do and what I need to get done, and just the visualization and then the change of like training environment to really push me. And yeah, I honestly can't say I have felt like this since 2017, 2018.
Wow. Just hearing you tell everything.
It's a lot. I apologize.
It's not. But that's you. It's what you went through.
Yeah. And to top it all off, like it's my landing ankle. For a lot of people that don't know, like I not only land on it, it's my loop flip and let's take off. Like it takes a lot of beating.
Yeah.
And I mean, you actually ever want to give up and move on from skating? Because you went through so much, but did that forever come into your head and be, you know, so strong for you to almost listen to it?
Oh, after my first surgery, I think when I first got back on the ice from about end of April to mid-June, I was pretty much crying every single day. I was in pain. I was rebuilding muscle because the worst thing after surgery is rebuilding all the muscle you lost, and especially when it's my landing foot. So like rebuilding the muscle, I wasn't able to walk on it for some days because like my muscles were just like so tight and tense. And I literally said to my parents, like every other day, I was like, this is like, I'm getting close to my breaking point. I'm getting close. But I always knew in the back of my mind, I was like, but imagine how much stronger you're going to be if you come back from this. Like you are so tough. Like pain is only temporary. Like you're going to get through it. But no, there were days where I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, but I just have a great support system. And everyone was like, it's going to suck, but you can do it. And then that's what truly helped me.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've shown a lot of resilience and determination through these past couple of seasons where you've had these injuries. And where do you think that comes from? Where does that resilience and that determination come from?
I think it definitely comes from both my parents, but also when I was a little girl, like I'm very headstrong. I'm not going to lie. I was 8 years old when I said I was going to go to the Olympics and I was going to win a gold medal. Like I said that right to my parents, and I wasn't afraid to say that in interviews when I was younger. So I was always like, okay, now you gotta prove it. So I knew when I was 8, the first Olympics I could go to was 2014. So I know what I'm capable of, and I know the best players in the world, the GOATs, always go through the hardest times, and you need to like go through the hardest times to hit the peak of the mountain. So I just keep remembering, okay, like the hard days are going to end, but it's how you handle them is what's going to make you better.
So, I mean, you said you wanted to be go to the Olympics and win a gold medal, which you did. So what is that thing that you're working for now? What is that thing that all of these injuries and all these setbacks that you've had, what is that thing that's like, okay, this is what I'm after?
I mean, there's two. There's one is I have a lot of reasons to go to Italy personally and like family, friend-wise. But for me, it's just like there's two things. One, I want to do everything I can and look back with no regrets. But also, two, I mean, a Canadian woman has never, for singles, has never gone to three Olympics. So, like, you created history by being the youngest Olympian. Why not create history by being the only Canadian woman to go to three? Because everyone, all of us have only done two. Me, Caitlin Osmond, Joanna Rochette, we've all only done two. A Canadian woman has not done three. So, I mean, I like creating history. I like being in the books. Why not do more? Right?
Right, exactly. Why not? And your gold medal was a team gold medal. Individual gold medal. I mean, okay, individual medal.
After Alyssa, that girl killed it. That girl's an icon. I will never say never after someone taking time off and not competing and coming out of nowhere. No one can ever say, like, nothing ever again.
Right.
She was actually very specific when she came on the podcast about the importance for her to get away from the skating to then come back to the skating. And she was saying that she was enjoying it so much more because she came back with a different level of maturity, but also a different approach to skating.
Yeah.
And that's something, of course, that we see more and more as an important element in figure skating, mental health, listen to yourself. So how do you actually deal with that? Because you mentioned you have a board there, you said, with your goals on site. How do you actually work on your mental health, given all you went through?
Oh, I'm not gonna lie. I'm like Alyssa. When I had my first surgery, figure skating was not talked about in my house. It was not on TV. I didn't even know what happened at the Nationals, Worlds, nothing. I kind of looked at the results for Worlds, but I really need to like it not to be anywhere. Like, I had even unfollowed a bunch of people who were my close friends. And it was because I just needed that big of a break from social media, from skating, needed to stay away. But once I came back, I saw vision boards were trending. And I was like, you know what? I'm very big into manifesting. I'm very big into, like, what you speak of in the universe will come to you. And the universe listens, God listens, and everything. So I was like, you know what? Let me make a vision board, but it's not a typical one. I used a lot of old pictures of myself from Olympics, when I was in my top peak shape, when I had won Nationals, when I podiumed with Caitlin at Worlds, when I won my team event. So there's a lot of like stuff you would see on a normal vision board, but there's a lot of like me at my peak. And I was like, this is what I need. And this is what we're going to get back to. Like, you have your goals. Now you need to do whatever it takes to get that. And that's how I'm looking at it now. And I started getting back into that around, I want to say November, I knew I needed to start to do this so that after my surgery in December, that I went into an Olympic year and I was like, okay, you keep your head down, you focus on what you need to do. The rest is outside noise and just ignore it.
Now you are, you're a mature skater. You're not, you're younger yourself anymore.
Oh, no, you can say I'm one of the older ones.
I'm
going from being the baby to the grandma, as my dad likes to call it.
Well, I won't call you a grandma, but you know, you're one of the mature, older skaters. So a lot of younger skaters look up to you. And so for someone who has gone through what you've gone through, what advice do you give to a skater who is seeing themselves at rock bottom, who are having injury after injury and just like can't get back? What will you give advice would you give them, seeing how you are kind of on the other side now, coming back and trying to go after those goals of yours?
I mean, my advice is to know, like, first of all, once you hit rock bottom, you can only go up. That's kind of like the short, sweet, funny way to say it. But the deeper answer would be do not be hard on yourself. Like, everyone has bad days, but like success is a roller coaster. It's like, it's crazy. It's ups, downs, twists, loops. And you just have to be very gentle with yourself. And you have to know, like, these hard days are not always going to last. Like, time always heals. And if you just, like, give yourself that grace and that passion that we all should give ourselves more, is you can get through it. And it's going to get better. You just have to give yourself that time and grace. But trust me, you will come not only out on the other side, but you will be stronger from it. And you'll look back and you'll be like, wow, if I can get through that, and I thought that was my worst day, I can handle a lot more that's thrown at me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, trust me, I thought, especially this year, I thought it was the crappiest time. I had rebroken my ankle. My grandfather passed away. I got told I needed another surgery going into an Olympic year. And I was like, okay, you know what? If this is what God's going to throw at me, if this is what life's going to throw at me, just imagine what I can say when I reach the other side. Mm-hmm. So that would be my advice, is know that there is another side and it does get better with time.
That's great advice.
Yeah, and this is fantastic advice, actually, to give. Yeah.
I don't always take my own advice sometimes, but I'm very good at giving it.
I feel the same way.
Very good at giving it.
Yeah.
Well, but it seems like when you listen to yourself, you achieve things, isn't it? So you said right? When you were young, you were saying Olympics, medal, and you got it. So now you're telling yourself, I need to get to the Olympics.
I think
and
I should
make
just
history.
Listen to myself more. It'd make my life easier, you know?
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
So, you know, you probably have quite a lot of support around you, but what we wanted to touch on is your fan base. You have a very strong, supportive fan base. You were incredibly popular. You're still very popular. Your name comes out every now and then at competitions.
Thank
like,
God.
When is she coming back?
Thank God.
So, what does it feel for you to have such a, you know, to be so popular and to have fans loving you?
It honestly means the world to me. Like, I would not be anywhere without not only my friends and family, but my fans. And especially when I have a bad day and I have a great competition and like I feel their support and their love, I'm like, you know what? Like, okay, they're right. Like, keep moving. Like, it's one bad competition. Like, what I do isn't easy. Like, oh my God, anyone could be like, oh, she did this. She was an awful like competition. It's like, Do you want to go try? Because this isn't easy for me. Trust me. Trust me. I didn't have fun on that competition either. But no, they mean the world to me. And I have the greatest fans. And I love reaching out to them as much as possible. And I love hearing their feedback. I do have a few fans where I message personally. And I'll be like, hey, just to let you know, like, this might come out about me before you even find out. Like, give them a little, like, sneak peek, you know?
Oh.
But I feel like because I've been in the public eye since I was 13... I'm 27 now, so I do feel like I kind of grew up with them, and I feel like we're a lot closer, like skater fan base than some of the other ones maybe, because I have had them for so long, and they're honestly just the greatest in the world. Like, to to anyone listening, I love you. I would not be here without you, and I appreciate every single one of you.
I mean, I was seeing when you came back at Broadmoor that there was tweets going around. I mean, your fans have stuck with you through the highs and the lows. You've got a great fan base.
It means the world, especially to know that I'm not forgotten. It means everything. Because I've been out for a while. I've been out, but my fans, I'm back. I promise. We're working hard every day. We're grinding. We're keeping our focus. We're back.
You heard it right here on this podcast. She's back. We're back. She's back.
And I feel like you're already making a difference because you've got a clear vision. So fingers crossed you're going to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. But by sharing all you're sharing now, you're already making a lot of difference because someone will be listening out there and getting inspired by your words. Maybe someone has got a similar situation and they, you know, like you, maybe they're home crying every day and they will be like, hold on, if Gabby can do it, maybe I can do it as well. Yeah. So you're already making an impact there, which is great.
And I'm not a person that likes to be outside her comfort zone. Like I'm an introverted extroverted. Like normally I'm very introverted. I'm extroverted when I'm around people and stuff like that. So for me, like I'm sacrificing everything right now. Like everything's coming out of pocket. I'm up to move not only training facilities, but countries. I'm away from all my support system back home, my parents. My brother will be touring in Europe for his show this year. So it's literally me and my dog. And I'm literally like, you know what? Unfortunately, I got to sacrifice a lot to get my dream and to get my goal and to achieve it and to get this, like, where I want to go. And if that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. And sometimes for people who are listening who don't know what they're doing and they kind of feel stuck, take that leap of faith. I was very hesitant, but I was like, you know what? This is what I have to do. And I did it. And I honestly can say I'm very proud of it. And I think it's one of the best decisions I've made is trusting myself and having my amazing head coach and other coaches in Canada, but also my amazing team here and just having so much love and support with everyone combined.
I was going to ask a little bit more about, because you've got your team in Canada and your team in Colorado Springs. How mm-hmm. often are you going back and forth?
I will be going, like, if I have a competition on the week, I'll be going back the week before to Canada and really working with them. I'm very much in contact with my head coach, Michael Haas from Canada. He gets texts pretty much every day of what I did, what's going on. And so that's more how the dynamic will work is I'll be there. So Michael Haas will pretty much be with me at, I'd say 95% of my competitions. Tammy will be coming with me to Philadelphia as she has a ton of other skaters there. So it just worked better, but it's very good. And they're in contact with each other. And it's just a very great team that I'm so grateful to have. Like I'm truly, truly grateful to have such wonderful coaches.
And talk about, I mean, Colorado Springs, you kind of mentioned you've been friends with Amber for a long time. What's it like training with some of these top skaters and you're getting to see these triple triples coming out and quads and things and, you know, it's a really intense environment. How is that for you and how is that helping you?
It's great. It honestly makes me feel like I said, back in 2017, 2018, where I was at my peak training with Javi, Yuzu and all that, like seeing all that and feeling like, okay, you have to be on every single day so you can feel like, for me, like I feel mid, you know, I feel mid. Like I want to feel pushed every single day. I want to see like if I step out or mess something up and see like other kids land it and swish and be like, okay, now you got to go fix that like ASAP. You can't be the one that fell. You can't be the one that did this. You need to be on. And it's just great. Like I've said, Amber and I have been friends for 13, going on 14 years. She's such a wonderful person, like inside and out, an incredible athlete, incredible skater. And I'm just so grateful not to only train with her, but to be her friend and just see her every single day, get advice, talk to her. And it's just great to have someone who has the same goal as you to be there with you. And the best is like, we're representing different countries, but they're two big countries. So to have that push together and to be there, and like you also have Camden, you have Elise, you have up and comers who just did Milwaukee from junior. Like, it's intense, fast-moving sessions. Like, it's fast-paced, but it's so good. It's so incredible to train there.
Yeah, really glad that it's all going well. We also had Amber on the podcast a while ago, and she was incredibly inspiring. And you can definitely feel when you spend a bit of time with her that she is golden dust, really. So to work with her must be fantastic, really. I can imagine.
It's one of the biggest honors and privileges, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I'm very honored and privileged and lucky every single day to train with such an incredible person and athlete.
Now, I was going to ask, you competed in Miss World Canada pageant process and you won the title of Miss Ontario. Are you still doing any pageants?
I did do that. I did. I have been asked to come back. That is a to be determined. I wouldn't put it out. Definitely not something I'm focusing on, but I definitely wouldn't put it out. But yeah, I did pageants because I wanted to see what it was like. And I was like, I can't preach about certain things if I've never gone outside my comfort zone and tried it. As people know, I've had an eating disorder in the past. I'm not very body confident. So I was like, you know what? Let's try it. Did I like walking in 6-inch heels in a bikini? No. Did I do it? Yes. So I wouldn't put it out. You never know.
Okay.
I mean, I like sparkles. There's a tiara involved. Definitely wouldn't put it out. We might see me back in a few years.
It's experience, isn't it?
I'm not gonna lie. I really liked it. I love skating, but like, after skating, who knows? You might see me on the Miss World or Miss Universe Canada stage and try to sprinkle in that area.
Okay.
And while you were not skating, were there other things that you worked on, like new hobbies or stuff that you picked up while you couldn't skate and train?
I've done track in the past. My father is a track coach. Mm. My father's incredible. He is not only a wonderful man, a father, incredible teacher. He's also an incredible basketball coach, a track coach, and he's actually my off-ice coach.
Mm.
So, yeah, that man's my Superman. So he puts up with a lot, my God. I don't know how he deals with me some days, especially if I'm a little tired after training and I'm in a little spunky mood, but he's always there. And same with my mom.
And your brother, is he still skating?
My brother is doing, what's the show name? I don't know. He's doing some show in Europe. He has like a... he's doing a show in Czech. He'll be there for like 5 months. Okay. I'm so proud of him and everything he's done. And I don't know when I'll see my brother. I'm hoping I see him before Olympics and before nationals and stuff. So maybe like Christmas time, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Because you two were both skating at the same time. He was doing pairs there for a little bit. So I was just kind of wondering what he was up to.
Yeah, no, he's doing shows right now, and he's just enjoying life.
Well, Gabby, we like to end our episodes, when we have time, doing some fun questions. We throw in some of these fun questions. We ask the skaters the same questions every time we do an interview here. There's one question at the end that we've kept through all of our seasons, but this is our season 4, so we've changed up a few of these questions.
Okay, I'm excited.
All right, so here we go. If you were a fruit, which would you be and why?
I feel like a pineapple.
Okay.
I don't know why that was so fast either. I feel like it's just like, it looks like deceiving on the outside. It looks like a hard, like, rough fruit, but it's so sweet and tender on the inside, and it's like one of those, like, you see it different from face value, but once you get to know it and stuff, you're like, oh my God, this is actually incredible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Great answer. Yeah.
I don't know why that came to my head so fast.
Do you like pineapple? I'm guessing you like pineapple.
I do, but I prefer raspberries.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
So I don't know why that came to my head.
It's a bit also, more exotic, like a
pineapple,
isn't it?
I have a pillow that said, like, be a pineapple, wear a crown, because I feel like the top is a crown.
Oh.
Do you know, I was thinking exactly about that, because I was in Spain 2 weeks ago, and there were these dancers in the square that one of them had a pineapple on the head, like that, as you're describing. So I was visualizing you in a pineapple.
Love
like that.
I love it. Let's go with it. Guys, watch me. My next Instagram picture is a pineapple on my head, just for you guys.
So the next question is, what's the most awkward thing you've ever done?
Most awkward thing I've ever done? Oh God. Try other sports where, like, it's baseball, it's golf. I'm horrible at golf. Don't get better every single time I try it. I think those would be pretty embarrassing. I've actually, like, pushed doors that say pull. Those are something I do a little too often. Yeah, I'd say golf and, like, walk the wrong way or, like, push the door the wrong way.
Okay. Now, if you were an ice skate, would you be the left skate or the right skate?
The right.
Is that your takeoff?
No, that's my landing.
Okay.
I think that's just because I always tie and untie my right first. I always have to, like, do my right skate first.
Okay.
I think that's why.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So what is your go-to guilty pleasure song?
My go-to guilty pleasure song. Ooh.
Or it can be artist. If there's somebody that you're constantly, like, listening to, your go-to guilty.
Oh, everyone knows I, like, love Taylor Swift, Ride or Die. But also, my Ride or Die is also Justin Bieber.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one. Is whenever I'm in a bad mood, you know the song You're Welcome from the Moana soundtrack in the first movie? Word by word. Word by word. I don't know why, but there's something just about the, like, You're Welcome and the little, like, yeah.
Isn't that Lin-Manuel Miranda singing that song?
It's actually Dwayne Johnson. But Lin-Manuel wrote the movie.
Okay.
But Dwayne Johnson sings, and there's just something about, like, the cheekiness and everything. I love it.
Okay.
Everyone says I'm a cheeky person. I'm like, I'm not mad about it. Love it. That one. I have to say that one.
All right.
If a director wanted to make a movie about you, which actor would you want to play you in the movie?
Ooh. I feel like Selena Gomez or Mila Kunis would be good. I've also been told, like, with, like, my smoky makeup, I look like a Madison Beer or, like, a Mila Kunis. So, like, I feel like those would be good options.
Okay. Good choices.
Yeah, good choices.
I would say Zendaya, but I don't think I would ever have the budget for her.
Well, we didn't say anything about budget. We just said if some director wanted to make a movie about you. So it's not, I don't think it's coming out of your pocket.
I feel like the way just Selena Gomez and Mila Kunis are with their, like, cheeky personalities and the way they can play on it, I think they would really represent me. So I would say one of those two.
Okay. You're granted 3 wishes. What are they? Mm-hmm. And you can ask for more wishes.
Oh, 3 wishes. Oh, I mean, like, world peace and world hunger is, like, kind of a given, right?
Yep.
Very pageant-like.
Very pageant-like. I say. God, 3 wishes. Oh, I honestly don't know. That's so hard.
That's not even the last question. That's the hard one that everyone says.
Oh, God. I would just say, like, yeah, world hunger, peace. But I would also just say, like, that everyone, I wish that everyone gets to live, like, their best life and do what they want to do. What's this say? I wish to not get injured again. Is that a great one?
That'd be lovely. That's an awesome one.
That'd be lovely. Just a nice little break. And then, yeah, my 3rd wish is just I wish to make people proud of me and just, inspire them. I wish to inspire people and show them that anything is possible, even when the world tells you or feels completely against you, that you can achieve your dream.
Okay.
Those might sound really cheesy, but I don't know. That was a hard one.
They're great. Yeah.
I'm scared for this last one. I really struggled with that. I'm scared.
Well, it's got the number 3 in it still.
Yeah, it does have number 3 in it still. Do you want me to do this one, Mateo, or do you want to take
it? Go for it. I know it's your favorite, Gina.
It is my favorite. We've had this one since season 1, and it can cause some skaters to get, like, tied up about it a little bit.
Oh, no.
Okay, you're stuck on a deserted island with 3 skaters, past or present. Who would you be stuck on the island with? Now, you can either be on the island just to be on the island, having a good time, or you need to figure out how to get off the island.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, if I'm on the island, off the top of my head, it's Amber. Me, Amber's coming with me. My girl, you're coming with me. Oh, who would be another one? I'd say Javier Fernandez, because we were great friends. We trained together. We know how to handle each other. We know our strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, this is the tricky one. My middle name is named after Shailen Bourne, but I'm born on my favorite figure skater, Dwayne Rochette's birthday. So I'm caught.
Oh, you can have both of them.
I would either do both, but if I had to pick one, I would go Joanie. Okay. So it'd be Dwayne Rochette, Javier Fernandez, Amber Glenn. And, I think would be my final answer.
And that would be just to have a good time. You're not trying to get off the island.
Oh, I love you. Me on a deserted island, I don't think I'm getting off. I genuinely don't think I would be able to get off. If there was any way for me to get off, I'm calling my father and be like, Dad, can you help me? I don't know what to do. How do I do this?
Well, when the skaters try to name their skaters that they, you know, need help getting off the island, the biggest one we've had is Keegan Messing. They all say Keegan Messing is going to get us off the island.
That's a good one.
Because I guess, you know, living in Alaska, he's got the skills to get people off an island.
Yeah, the survival skills.
Yes. Oh, 100%. My hats go off to Keegan. I've seen, like, Surviving Alaska, like that TV show on Netflix. Could never. Who else would be, like, I think Amber would be great.
Yeah.
I think that girl will problem solve her way off the island easily.
I can't remember who she said.
Yeah, because one thing that she shared with us, she was saying that having learned a lot of lessons going to competitions, she brings things like extra stockings and stuff like that because she knows that other skaters might need that. So she was saying that she has extra these, extra that. And I'm thinking that would be perfect on the island because she would be thinking beforehand, what could we need?
Oh, yeah. I'm the same. Like, my friends call me the mom of the group because, like, I'm like Mary Poppins with my purse. I'm like, what do you need?
There you go.
Like, I like to have everything.
You'd be fine on the island with Amber then.
But no, I think my choices are not only to have a good time. I think the four of us could easily try to get off an island.
I think so. Yeah. I really do too.
Grab some like coconut tree, chop them down, make yourself a raft.
Maybe pineapples, you never know.
Oh, have pineapple to eat. And I then know. You take the leaves from the coconut trees and you make a little sail. I think I could do it. Take seaweed to tie the knots to connect everything. I think I could do it.
Yeah. I like this question. That's why this question, it just, I never know.
A good question. This was way easier than the three wishes.
Well, Jason like Brown, it took him forever. He just kept going, I'm like, Jason, do you have any? And he's like, no, I can't give you an answer. So I literally had to wait like 3 months until I was at Nationals with him. And I recorded a special little thing at Nationals with his three answers. He finally came up with three and it was Keegan Messing. And I think he said, he had Michelle Kwan in there because he said someone would miss Michelle Kwan. So they would come after us. And, you know, and so, I mean, like, the thoughts that people put in, Nam hat, I can't even remember. Nam was 1, 2, 3, right off the bat.
I mean, Joe's a doctor, so you have that. Javi would bring the good vibes, but he also like knows when to get stuff done. You have Amber, who's going to bring the extra equipment and make sure like everyone's taken care of. And you have me, who's like, okay, this is our set plan. We need A, B, C, D to build. This is how we'll do it. And you got like the muscles from all four of us. I think we're a great team. I think it's a great team.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
I'm pretty proud of that.
Well done. You survived that question.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we want to thank you, Gabby, for joining us today. We are so excited to see you back, and we wish you all of the best this season. I mean, go after it. Just make us proud. I mean, make yourself proud too. And so can't wait to see what you accomplish this season.
And as I said before, you inspired a lot. So thank you for sharing all you shared.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was truly a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.